This is the Scripture-Driven Church Broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture-Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
Greetings and welcome to another special Christmas month edition of the Scripture-Driven Church broadcast. Once again this year, atheists have been making war on Christmas. In fact, that is the term they use. They call their efforts a war on Christmas. Today we're going to look at the real reasons why atheists make war against the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Some of those reasons may surprise you, but Christians can answer the atheists with authority, and today I'm going to tell you how. Today's message is titled, The Atheist's Christmas Myth, so I hope you'll stay tuned. Before we begin today, I want to take a moment to remind you about our 2011 Bible Reading Challenge. We're encouraging all of our listeners to make a commitment to read the Bible all the way through during the coming year. And at the end of today's broadcast, I'll tell you how you can obtain our 2011 Bible reading schedule that will take you through the entire Word of God in a year in about 20 minutes a day. And Heavenly Father, as we come to your Word once again today, I pray that you will make its truth clear to each person listening, according to that person's need, as only you know it. Thank you that you do this. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. During this Christmas season, a huge billboard has been erected on one of the busiest highways in the New York City area, a billboard that proclaims that the biblical account of the birth of Jesus Christ is not true. The American Atheists Organization spent over $20,000 to put up this billboard at a location near the western entrance to the Lincoln Tunnel, which carries over 200,000 people into New York City every day. And the billboard proclaims this, you know it's a myth. This season, celebrate reason. Well, as you might imagine, this billboard has generated a lot of publicity. All the major news networks carried stories about it. And so did many newspapers, and of course, the billboard was featured all over the Internet. The president of the American Atheists Organization, a man named David Silverman, said this in a television interview. He said, "At least we didn't point a gun at Santa Claus's head. Our billboard is the soft approach." But he also said this in another interview. "If the religious right wants a war on Christmas, we're going to make sure they know what such a war looks like. We haven't just started this war. We've been fighting this war for decades." Well, dear friend, let me tell you, the American atheists have really shot themselves in the foot with this one. They have, in fact, actually revealed more than ever before who they really are and what they really believe. In fact, what they've done is to provide hard evidence, not that the birth of Jesus Christ is a myth, but hard evidence that the Bible is true. By what they've said and done, they've revealed what pathological liars atheists really are. And that is exactly what the Bible says about them. The atheists have in fact confirmed what Scripture says about them. Now, I can imagine at this point you might be asking, how can that be? Well, in this message we're going to answer that question. We're going to answer it from Scripture. I've titled this message, The Atheist's Christmas Myth. The American Atheist Christmas billboard gives us an opportunity not only to examine what is so absolutely unsupportable about the atheist message, it also gives us an opportunity to examine once again the reason for the Christian's faith in the person and work of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternally existent Son, who came into this world in human form 2,000 years ago to pay the penalty for sin. The atheist speaks of reason. They say that reason and Christian faith are opposites, mutually exclusive. Faith and reason, they say, cannot coexist. But what does the Word of God say? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Christian faith is substance. Christian faith is evidence. Genuine biblical Christian faith is rooted in reason and logic. Christian faith is not ethereal. It is not mystical. It is not pie in the sky. And why is that? It is because of the nature of genuine Christian faith, the fact that it is Christian faith. It is founded in Christ. Genuine saving Christian faith has as its object the person and work of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the substance. He is the evidence. He is the foundation. Jesus is the reason for the Christian's confidence in a perfect life beyond this life of death and struggle. Jesus is the reason for the Christian's confidence in a new, perfect earth beyond this ruined and perishing earth. Jesus is the reason for the Christian's confidence of eternal joy and pleasure and fulfillment in the Lord's presence forever, beyond the sorrows and sufferings and continual frustrations and disappointments of this present life in the dominion of Antichrist. And so today I want to focus our attention on 3 points. Number 1, the atheist's Christmas billboard presents a version of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ that is itself a myth. And in contrast, I want to focus our attention on the true account of Christ's coming into this world. Number 2, I want to focus our attention on the true nature of the atheist. The atheist says that he is a reasonable man. But the fact is that by what the atheist continually says and does, he proves what the Bible says about him. And the Bible says that the atheist is the most unreasonable of men. And number 3, I want to focus our attention on the Christian's answer, the Bible's answer, the authoritative answer to the false claims of those who claim to be godless. We can answer with authority. So we begin with point number 1. The atheist's Christmas billboard presents a version of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ that is itself a myth. And in contrast, I want to focus our attention on the truth of Christ's coming into this world. Now, I want to describe the American Atheist's Christmas billboard a little more for you. This huge billboard portrays a silhouette picture of the 3 wise men on camels. And the 3 wise men are approaching a stable in which are pictured Jesus in a manger, along with Mary and Joseph. And there is a star over the stable. Now, if you know your Bible, you can take one look at this billboard, and you can, in one sense, agree with the atheist's banner message. They say, you know it's a myth. And the Christian who knows his Bible can take one look at the picture on this billboard and say, yes, you're absolutely right, this is a myth. What you've portrayed on your billboard has nothing to do with the historical account that we find in the Bible in Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2. What you've portrayed on your billboard is indeed a myth. Now, what is mythical about it? Well, there are several things. I want to mention 3 in particular. Matthew's account says in verse 1 that wise men came from the east. But here we have myth number 1 in the atheist Christmas billboard. In their portrayal, they say something that Matthew doesn't say. Matthew doesn't say that there were 3 wise men. In fact, he doesn't say how many there were. And he doesn't say that they came on camels. So the portrayal of the 3 wise men coming on camels is a myth. It is an unwarranted embellishment of Scripture. And Christians who know their Bibles know that this is true. And then we have myth number 2 of the atheist Christmas billboard. Matthew doesn't say that the wise men came to a baby in a manger. Matthew says that they came to a house where a young child was. The word that is used in Matthew is a different word than the one that is used in Luke, where Luke speaks of the shepherds coming and finding a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The word that Luke uses is the Greek word for a newborn baby. The Greek word that Matthew uses to describe the child who was visited by the wise men speaks of a young child or a little boy, a toddler, if you will. Herod had inquired of the wise men what time the star appeared, literally, how long ago did it appear? And it was on that basis that Herod gave the order to slaughter all the young children in the region who were 2 years old and younger. So the portrayal of the wise men coming to the manger is a myth, and Christians who know their Bibles know that it's a myth. And then we have myth number three of the atheist's Christmas billboard. Matthew doesn't say that the star was over the manger. In fact, Luke, in his account of Christ's birth and the manger, doesn't mention a star at all. But Matthew tells us that the wise men saw the star in the east, and that the star went before them, led them, until it came and stood over not the stable or a manger, but the house where the young child was. So the atheist Christmas billboard is factually inaccurate on at least three major points. But dear friends, let's note something carefully here. Christians have given the atheists a lot of ammunition over the years, ammunition that they fire back at us. How many of our homes have a manger scene with a star over a stable, and three wise men coming to the stable on camels along with the shepherds? How many church Christmas pageants portray these myths? How many public nativity scenes that Christians have fought so hard to try to keep in public places, how many of them portray these myths? In a very real sense, Christian friends, we have no one to blame but ourselves. We portrayed these myths in our homes, in our churches, and in the public square long before the atheists ever put them on a billboard in order to mock Christianity. Dear friends, we need to be so very careful with the Word of God. What does Scripture say? Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure, the writer says. Every word of God is tested, refined, demonstrated to be without error. He goes on to say, He, God, is a shield, a defense to those who put their trust in Him. And then notice this, do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. There's a very real sense in which this atheist Christmas billboard is a rebuke to the Christian church. You call the atheist a liar? Yes, he is, God says. But look at your own house as well. Look at your own church. Christian church, God says, if you have added to my words, I find you to be a liar as well as the atheist. You should be ashamed. And this is far from the only place in which we add lies to the Word of God. Today, churches add works to faith. They add the worship of Mary to the worship of Christ. They add social and political reform to the gospel. All of these things are lies, deceptions. All of these things add to God's truth. They add the word of man to the Word of God. Those who are truly God's people need to repent of these things and of so much more. We need to return to the purity of the unadulterated Word of God, the simplicity which is in Christ. Well, this brings us to point number two. I want to next focus our attention on the true nature of the atheist. The atheist says that he's a reasonable man. But the fact is that by what the atheist says and does, he proves what the Bible says about him. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says that the atheist is the most unreasonable of men. And not only that, the Bible says that those who claim to be atheists are in fact pagans. And some of the comments by Mr. Silverman of the American Atheists and of representatives of some other atheist groups, their comments demonstrate that this is true. We read this in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Literally in the original, the idea is they worshipped and served anything that is created rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Here is what Mr. David Silverman, the president of the American Atheists, said in a television interview. He said that the Christian celebration of the coming of Jesus Christ into the world is just another usurpation of the winter solstice celebration. The atheist's anti-Christmas billboard says, "This season, celebrate reason." Well, what season are they talking about? They're talking about the winter solstice season. Atheists around the world celebrate the winter solstice. I recently received an email from another atheist organization that started out with this: "Solstice and seasonal greetings. A festive season arrives. As we go along in our annual trip around the sun, the December solstice approaches. For many of us atheists, it's a busy festive period." The winter solstice has in fact long been celebrated, not by Christians, but by pagans. As we look back at the horrors of Nazi Germany, we find that Adolf Hitler reintroduced the celebration of the winter solstice in place of Christmas as part of the Nazi culture that he intended to impose upon the entire world. Hitler believed that religion, God, had no place in the Third Reich, so he issued an edict that said that the celebration of Christmas would be replaced by the holiday of the winter solstice. The Christmas tree was replaced by a winter solstice tree, and at the top of the tree was the Nazi symbol, the swastika, in German, the Hakenkreuz, or the broken cross, the ultimate blasphemy against the cross of Christ. And on the Nazi godless winter solstice tree were ornaments bearing pagan runic symbols and images. Mr. Silverman of the American Atheists has revealed what truly upsets atheists about Christmas. They see it as a usurpation of their pagan winter solstice festival, which many of them are more openly celebrating. Atheism is in fact paganism, anti-Christian paganism. You see, what really infuriates the professing atheist is not the idea of a belief in a generic God. What really infuriates the atheist is belief in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The atheist, just like the Jewish leaders of a Passover week 2,000 years ago, shout out their defiance. They say, "We will not have this man Jesus to reign over us." That is the atheist's real problem. The coming of Jesus Christ into the world is not a myth. Atheism is the myth. Atheism is the lie. And deep down inside, the atheist knows it, and he hates the thought, he hates the reality. And so, as Paul says, he will worship and serve anything, anything, but the Creator. Because, as Colossians chapter 1 tells us, the Creator and Sustainer of the universe, the entire universe, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This brings me to point number 3. I want to focus our attention on the Christian's answer, the Bible's answer, the authoritative answer to the false claims of those who claim to be godless. The thing we must remember is that atheism is a belief system. Even the leading atheists admit that. Richard Dawkins says that what really bothers him about biblical Christianity is the fact that he sees it as a rival belief system, and he wants his belief system to have no rival. Atheism is a belief system. That's what Romans chapter 1 tells us. And that is how we as Christians must confront it. How can we answer the atheist with authority? Well, this may seem strange, but we can begin by agreeing with the atheist on one particular point. We can agree with the atheist that religion is a failure, and that religion has indeed historically been a major vehicle for evil in the world. History shows us that. But more importantly, it is also what God's Word says about every religion that does not worship the one true and living God. Every such religion is a complete failure. But here is where the Bible-believing Christian truly parts company with the atheist. We must disagree with the atheist when he says that belief in the supernatural is the problem. The real issue, as Romans chapter 1 tells us, is not that man needs to deny the supernatural. The real problem is that fallen man needs to truly understand the supernatural. And one of the principal things that man needs to understand is that the God of the universe supernaturally came into this world, took on a body, lived the perfect life we cannot live, and died the death we deserve to die for our sins. That's the Christmas message. It is a supernatural message, and Christians must never be ashamed of the fact that our faith, the saving faith of which the Bible speaks, is a reasoned faith in an actual Christ. Dear friend, we can speak to the world about the Christ of Christmas because we have a supernatural book, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It tells about a supernatural Creator and Redeemer. It tells us that the present natural order came into existence supernaturally, Genesis chapter 1. And it tells us that the natural order is held together supernaturally by Christ, Colossians chapter 1. By Him all things consist. By the rule and authority of Jesus Christ, the one who came into this world in a body of flesh 2,000 years ago to redeem sinners, by His rule and authority, at this very moment, the universe hangs together and operates. We need to remember that the atheist, and in fact, every unbeliever, is the natural man of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, he does not accept them as true. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that apart from the working of the Spirit of God, the natural man is incapable of understanding such things, because they are spiritually discerned. We must point the atheist, we must point every unbeliever, to Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate, the one who, as Colossians 1:15 tells us, is the exact image of God the Father. But we must couple all of this with prayer, because all the evidence in the world and all the argumentation in the world will not bring any person to belief unless the Spirit of God regenerates him. No witness to the atheist, no witness to anyone apart from Christ, is complete without prayer. Prayer that God the Holy Spirit will bring that person to saving faith in Christ. I think one of the most powerful things you can do is to tell the atheist that you are praying for his salvation. Our job is simply to bear witness to the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and leave the results in the hands of the sovereign Spirit of God. Dear Christian friend, at this season of the year and in every season of the year, may you be fearless and confident in your witness, because you rely on the power of the Word of God, used by the Spirit of God, to accomplish the eternal purposes of God.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Friends, in the moments that remain, I want to encourage you to contact us for our 2011 Bible reading schedule. This schedule will take you through the entire Word of God in a year, in about 20 minutes a day. We'll be glad to send you a copy for yourself, or a supply for your family and friends, or for use in personal witness, or a supply for your church congregation. And we'll send them out postage paid and without cost or obligation. Just get in touch with us and let us know how many you need. You can contact us by phone, through our website, or by mail. In the United States, you can call us right now, toll-free, at 888-804-9655. Once again, that's 888-804-9655. You can make your request for the 2011 Bible reading schedule by visiting our website, teachingtheword.org, and clicking the contact link. That's the contact link at teachingtheword.org. Or if you prefer, you can write to us. Our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, that's Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. And when you contact us, just let us know that you would like to receive the 2011 Bible reading schedule and how many you need, and we'll send them out to you right away without cost or obligation. On our next program, we're going to resume our study of the book of Colossians at chapter 2, verse 5, with a message titled, The Church Against the World, Presenting a United Front. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for praying for the broadcast. And we thank those of you who financially support this program to keep it on the air. And until next time, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.